Life is good.
David. Football David.
The Dave Dameshek Football Program. Available on iTunes and at davedameshek.nfl.com. Now here's your host, Dave Dameshek.
Hi and hello, football fans. Welcome to the Dave Dameshek Football Program. We are nearing already the end of June. Can it possibly be? Football season's going to be here before you know it. We have much to discuss, so let's get right to it while we await Ike Taylor visiting us here in Studio 66. I also hear tale of great New Orleans Saints defensive end Cam Jordan. He may shadow Studio 66 before we're done here. Right now, though, one thing I do know, seated to my immediate left, all the way from London, England, he serves as our resident Miami Dolphins fan. It's Handsome Hank.
He's handsome, Hank.
Hello, Handsome. How are you? How was Father's Day?
Father's Day was good. I mean, it's hard to argue with Ike. Life is good.
Life is good.
Life is good.
Yeah,
life
like
is
that.
Good.
Life is good.
Life is good.
Yeah, it's hard to argue. Everything's good.
It
was
nice.
Father's Day for you?
It was nice. A soccer clinic.
Ooh.
For football baby.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know what I like doing? I like, I don't know if this is a weird thing. Some people said that it is, that I'm a grown-up and I shouldn't care as much as I do. I love coloring books. I love participating.
Mm.
It's a great...
I like, you're right. It is fun.
I know that they have adult ones. That maybe crosses
That's
a line.
Weird.
Maybe if I did that on my own, it
do
would
you
be...
Mean, do you mean adult or adult?
As opposed to what?
You know how adult is sometimes a synonym for something that goes...
Oh, yes.
Know, you know what I mean?
I don't
a
know.
Blue,
the...
A blue coloring book.
Right. Coloring books designed specifically for grown-ups.
Okay.
I don't think necessarily means they have to be X-rated.
Adult.
Right. But maybe they do have
right.
them. I don't know. I'm naive about what's out okay. there, Handsome. You know.
I know. I just wanted to
I'm a wholesome guy. I don't know about what people are up to. But either way, I love the coloring books, mm-hmm. and they're a perfect parent-child activity because they're two pages, you see.
Yep.
I, though, get cross with my kids, like with the little ones who don't care to finish, and they just want to scribble, and then they want to mark up my colors.
Yep.
Like, don't, can you have your own page? Don't, why do you have to put red in something that I've clearly, I've got four shades of blue working for, you know, to indicate the shadow and everything. I've got where the light is coming from and everything. Now you, all of a sudden now the red is marking up my work. I don't care for that. But either way, we did some arts and crafts. We did some painting. We went to the arts and crafts store and got, like, you know, different things that we could paint. I had a wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Maybe it's not fun for some people. Either way,
no, I
handsome.
Like it. I'm. You know what you can get as well, just while you're on the books, and I'll see if I can find one for you. You can get a roll that, like, covers an entire table, so everyone can sit around, and then there's a, you know, a pastoral scene of some kind, and you can sit in the top right hand corner and do the sky, and then the kids can sit somewhere down, and so that. You're doing the same drawing, but effectively, like, your side's the good side, and then
yeah.
they can scribble on sheep or whatever.
They can do their own thing, and I don't have to worry
yeah.
about it. I get very upset when they mm-hmm. – it's the same thing. I've talked about it before. Like, I don't like when I'm Legoing with one of the
it's
kids.
It's not what it's called, but carry on.
All right, but when I'm Legoing it
Lego.
Up, and I'm doing good Legoing, and then all of a sudden, like, you know, 20 minutes in – one of the ne'er-do-wells comes along and wipes it out. Like, what are we doing? What's the point?
Right.
You know? You wanted to destroy something beautiful, you
right.
know?
Actually, on Father's Day, we went to the beach, and my youngest son did the equivalent. The beach equivalent of that
yep.
is the sandcastle, a long-crafted sandcastle. But unfortunately, it was someone else's sandcastle with other people's kids there as well. So I had to profusely apologize, and that wasn't enough. I had to rebuild a sand tower because that really was. It was about 3 foot high. I had to rebuild the whole thing because my son had destroyed it.
Based
with
on what?
Shovel.
Based on their lack of
it
acceptance
was just,
of
yeah,
your apology?
It was like, I was like, well, I offered to as well. I was like, I'm so embarrassed. I'm so sorry.
Sorry's not going to bring back our 3-foot tower.
Exactly. The kid's crying. I was like, I could rebuild it. And the kid was like, yes, you do that. So then I regret offering to rebuild your tower.
I don't understand the need to be a destroyer. I tell them that all the time. Look, I'm making something. Oh, you're just taking it down. I don't care for that. Now it is time for our Q&A, our weekly Q&A session. Let's jump into the Q&A by revisiting one from last week with Ike and Colleen Wolf in here. Someone posited a great question. What's the largest animal out there on the big blue marble, Handsome Hank, that you think you could defeat in a fight?
It's fun. I thought it was a great question. I watched the video of that last week, and I thought about it this weekend. Funnily enough, again, when I was on the beach, I was in the ocean, and right there, and this happens occasionally in LA, but not as close as it did this time, a dolphin came leaping out of the water very close to me.
Neat.
Close enough. Just behind, like it was behind the glass with Emma and Bartlett.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, if I could get an adolescent dolphin and drag it onto land, I think I could take down an adolescent.
How are you going to get it out of the water?
Well, because I'm cunning, what I would do is I'd pretend to be petting it. I'd be like, oh, hello, and because dolphins like that, I think. I've seen it on TV.
Yeah.
People. And then, you get your arms around it, and then
get him.
Tighten up. And then just haul him out of the water.
No moral qualms about it being an adolescent dolphin. I think, what about if
not a baby.
But what if it's a shark? I think the greatest thing you could say about a shark is, if you're patting it on its back, who truly is the king, not just of the jungle, but of the big blue marble. If you took a shark, even if the fight started out of the water, and you said, we're doing this on my terms, shark, I think the shark could still beat me.
No.
He would.
Get behind it. Get behind it. All the problems.
Yeah, but
he
would do that thing, and how they wiggle themselves, all of a sudden his head that was facing away a moment ago suddenly is digging into my arm
What are you doing lying on the ground?
I'm not. I'm trying to beat him up, but he's whipped around when he sensed me.
I know, but you said wiggle. Wiggling. I mean, if you can't move fast and the shark can wiggle, you're in trouble anyway. There are no animals.
A lot of people told me, I said maybe a monkey, maybe a chimpanzee. People said, oh, no. Oh, no. Monkeys are very mean.
Monkeys,
they would take your eyes.
Chimpanzees they're
or
strong.
Or a pair
as
of
well.
Something else that you have. I said they like to go after those. So monkey is done. What about, though, a donkey? Damashek v. Ass.
No, those guys will kick you. Okay,
but if I jump on him around his neck and pull his eyes, he's not going
to. That teeth are dangerous as well.
All right, we'll have to stick with that. Chris Wessling then asked from around the NFL, said, "What's the smallest animal you couldn't beat?" I have seen Kill Bill, so I'm going to say a black mamba.
Yes.
How would I beat a snake?
A king cobra or a black mamba. Those are dangerous animals. I tell you what else is bad. You always hear is the honey badger. Those ones, I think lions are afraid of them because what a honey badger will go do is...
A honey badger can pounce and catch your neck?
No, I think with a lion, these lions will be out hunting and the honey badger sees them coming and the honey badger, he's coming after the honey badger's babies. And what the honey badger will do is they go under the lion and they go grab the lions hanging down, the big fruits.
The big fruits.
The big melons that are hanging down underneath the lion, and they'll grab them.
Hey, joining us right now, walking into Studio 66. Oh, there's his theme music.
Oh, yeah.
Take it away. One-man house band, Dick Banks.
Is it on?
Uh-huh.
Born in Gretna.
Oh, it's so loud, Shirk.
K-E-T-A-Y-L-O-R,
Ike Taylor. Life is good.
Life is good.
What's the poop, Ike? How
Life
are you?
Life is good. Can't complain. You know what I'm about to do?
What?
I'm about to get professional.
Okay. Oh, taking the gum out.
Yeah, I got to take it.
You've thought of everything today, haven't you?
Hey, Ike, let me give you a trash can for that.
Thank you.
I've been eating some cherries here.
I was about to get
you
to
like,
that.
Would you like some?
Well, yes, I do.
Yeah, you go in there.
Hey, well,
what make you bring cherries on a Sheck show?
Well, Sheck likes fruits.
Mm-hmm.
And I like cherries. Here, let me put that spittoon between
What'd you call it?
A spittoon.
I like it. I like it. I gotta start saying that.
And so I just thought, why not? I'll bring some cherries. Shaq's rejected them actively.
So. I have no. I'm being a pro. You know, I don't want to. I don't want the audience to have to hear me masticating food while I'm kibitzing about this, that, and the other. The game of football and the game of life, Ike. We started without you. We jumped in on this week's Q&A. We revisited the animal discussion. A lot of people chiming in on that one, including our pal from Good Morning Football, Kay Adams.
Right.
She feels that she enjoyed the discussion. She couldn't settle on what beast she might be able to defeat. Ike, what's the smallest animal you couldn't beat in a fight? Last week you said you could beat a silverback. I find that answer specious.
I would say a wolverine.
A wolverine would defeat you.
Yeah, no question.
Would kill you. He'd make you bleed.
Well, you said the honey badger, right?
Honey badgers are dangerous.
I think a black mamba.
No, pound for pound, a wolverine and a honey badger would kill a black mamba.
No.
Yeah. Oh, they'd make short work of that.
Yeah, they
I mean,
kill
what
snakes.
Are those ones? Mongoose. Is a mongoose?
The mongoose
snake,
kill them snakes
snake
all
killer?
Day.
That's what they do. That's their job.
That's illegal, but, you know, that's, I think.
No, that's real life.
I know, but
you don't
people.
Get no ticket. You don't get no ticket in a while.
I know, but can't a mongoose and a cobra, that don't human beings pit them against one another in parts of this, in parts of the world?
Probably.
Yeah.
That'd be an interesting fight. Mm-hmm. All right, let's not discuss animal
watch
fights.
Watch it on Nat Geo. Hey, Nat Geo, y'all need to give us a shout-out since we're giving y'all a shout-out.
Yeah, that's true.
Dave Demichek show.
They should jump in and sponsor this. Meantime, Ike and Handsome. Kayla Schlitz poses the first question of this week for us on Twitter. She says, the players have ranked their own top 10 for where we are. It's not for the 2016 season. Ike, you, me, Amber Theo Harris, and a gaggle of pro football stars have been buzzing the last few weeks about this, and it all culminates next Monday night. Meantime, top 10 as we sit here in between 2016 and 2017, who's your top 5 players in all the NFL?
Top 5 player?
Yeah.
Ike does this as a job, doesn't he? That, like, you've been writing your own list the whole way through this.
Just my top 5 player.
Yeah, your top 5. No guessing. As we learned once again, on Monday night, I was galled to see Dak Prescott at number 14, the rookie.
Seems a little high.
Was too high. That's right. And Aaron Donald was at, what, 15 or something like that? Should be in the top 5. Handsome, while Ike works on his list, what's yours?
I got Tom Brady number 1.
Agree.
I would take Aaron Rodgers 2nd.
Agree.
I would take J.J. Watt 3rd.
Eh, all right. He's hurt. He's coming back from a back injury, and this the drill list of.
You wouldn't take Khalil Mack over J.J.? Okay.
Nope. I'd take Tony Brown 4.
Okay.
And I would take Julio. No need for a second name there.
Julio. No, Julio. I know who Julio is.
At number 5.
I agree with your first two, Brady, then Rodgers. Okay. I go David Johnson. This is based on
2016. I like David Johnson a lot.
Atrocious offense, 8-man boxes all day long, no matter to him. Aaron Donald, like I said, at number 4. And then I'll go Antonio Brown in the midst of the greatest run for any wide receiver in pro football history. 4 years in, look up those numbers. You'll never see the equal of what he's put up of late. I think he keeps it going. In fact, Ike and I have been talking a lot about Martavis Bryant and the impact and how unstoppable he has a chance to be, and in fact how unstoppable that Steelers offense has a chance to be in 2017 if Martavis Bryant is ready to go for the season. Ike, all right, go ahead.
I did mine for real.
Okay.
Tom Brady.
What do you think we were doing?
Yeah, y'all was for that for fake.
All right, go ahead.
You know, maybe want to get in that spittoon or whatever.
I don't want to be in a spittoon.
Hey, Tom Brady number 1.
Life would not be good if I were in a spittoon. Yeah.
Tom Brady number 1.
Mm-hmm.
Tyron Smith number 2.
Oh, my goodness.
Aaron Donald number 3.
Wow.
AB number 4. Khalil Mack number 5. And I just put Le'Veon like a little slash, a little baby, like a little small 5.
Really? Aaron Rodgers? Neither hair nor hair?
Hide.
Hide or hair?
Neither hair nor hide.
I did the best I thought at every position.
Okay, good. Yeah, I'm glad you're not obsessed by the QBs like the rest of the world is.
Right.
All right, excellent list. That's fun. Yeah, I think Aaron Donald, to me, of all the
top 5
injustices, I agree. I think that's the worst one. Next question comes to us from our pal. He was in a week ago. You can obviously check his podcast, the Ross Tucker football show, out as soon as possible. Go back and listen to our work with him. He posed a question for us. This one's not about the game of football, rather the game of life.
All right, fellas. My daughter, Helen, is almost 4 years old, and recently when I told her that there's a right thing in life and a wrong thing in life to do. She said to me, I don't want to do the right thing. I want to do the wrong thing. How do you suggest I handle this?
Handsome, what do you think? You have three little ones.
Yeah, two of my kids, I think they feel the same way as well.
Hmm.
Their thing is like, they want to be the bad guy.
They want to watch the world.
I want to be the villain. I like the bad guys. We play a game at home where you have to, we each will pretend we're an animal, and then you have to tell the other animal what you would tell it just leading up to when you eat it. So you'd be like...
I love that game.
It's a good game. It's be like, you know, you'd be a snake, I'd be a donkey.
Uh-huh.
And then the snake, we make friends, and then the snake suddenly will turn on you and be like, you know what, I'm hungry right now. And the donkey's like, oh, I'm hungry too. And they're like, do you know what I like to eat, donkey? And the donkey's like, no, I like burgers. And he goes, I'm going to eat you.
What are you teaching your children?
Well, it's just a fun game. But I don't know what you do about it.
Different.
Yeah.
The Englishman a little different.
Ike, what do you say here? Well, handsome, of course, as we've learned before, when he was, when he was barely into adulthood, his first deed in these United States was he took the manhood of calves.
Right.
What were they again? What kind of beast were they?
They were cows, baby cows. I just took their
manhood.
Cut their people.
Mm-hmm. Taught them a lesson they'll never forget.
So he doesn't mind that sort of thing. How say you, Ike? What advice can you give to Ross Tucker?
Oh, man. Between right and wrong, two girls, so I'm sensitive towards my nieces.
Want to be bad. Is that
they
want to
be
thing?
Bad. So I would drop them. I wouldn't drop them. We'll take a trip to the Nile River over there around Africa somewhere. I would show them. You know, this what happens to bad people, you know. And I would love to see a lion trying to feast on another animal and say, you see that? Now, daddy gonna go get that when you act bad.
This is an elaborate scheme to teach them to behave.
And this is what the lion will do to you. 4.5. I'm just saying. That's what I would do.
This is what, if you're bad, this is what happens. A lion eats.
Now, me doing the right thing is bringing you on this trip.
I'm going to feed you to a lion if you step out of line.
No questions.
Wow.
They would be scared for the rest of their life.
Well, that's true.
That's for sure.
That's true. And, you know, I say all the time.
Dead straight.
No questions.
The old thing is, handsome, you have a daughter. Like, you know, I, for better or worse, politically correct or not, you know, it's not a, it doesn't feel as bad if your boy, at least in theory to me right now, if one of my sons grows up and, you know, he likes to misbehave in certain way, you know, he likes to likes to chase girls and chase a few too many girls and all that kind of stuff.
Give him a pass.
All right, I'll try, try to be a gentleman and all that. You know, you kind of, in theory, don't want your daughter to be playing that game. But as a reminder, you always hear guys say, oh, about their daughter. She's not allowed to date until she's 30. Ha, ha, ha. That's the big joke. People always make that joke. But, of course, the alternative is, or the worst thing would be, is if your daughter, no one wants to go out with her. That would be sad. I don't want to feel sad that no one asks her any my girls on a date. You see? I want it somewhere in between.
Somewhere in between.
Knock on wood, the daughter must be unhandsome if, right?
That's what I'm saying.
If nobody asking her for a date.
Yep.
Yeah. Or she's got some personality flaw of some sort, right?
I don't want to make my daughter wait. I don't even have a daughter, but I just don't even want to wait to 30 because they get to 30 and they trying to play catch up. And ain't no telling how much they're going to burn the candles on both of them ears trying to play catch up. Like, I miss all of this.
Right.
I was so worried about the lion this whole time. I had no idea.
Exactly.
Went to a lie over to fly over to the Nile, find a lion
that's eating another animal.
Hopefully, it's feasting.
Yep.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. Next question
More
comes
Nat
from
Geo. Nat Geo, by the way, is having
Nat
a big
Geo.
Day on DDFP yeah. today.
I love Nat. Nat Geo, y'all gotta show us some love.
Make a call already. Let's see. Yeah. Let's Nat Geo and the National Football League.
They've got room for you to host a show there. As
I mean, I've heard worse ideas.
I follow them. They follow me. I need to holler at them.
Boy, yeah. that I mean, really, you should go on Safari or something like that.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind. You know, I feel like.
Have you done that?
No.
You should do that.
I really feel like I'm one of them animals, dog. I don't want to go in the jungle and just take over the jungle.
Because I really feel like other Lions would be like, well, he's here now, guys. We got nothing left.
Got
to
a
do.
New boss, and then you leave because then you'd miss.
Yeah, then you go back.
I knew he was coming. Like, I tried to tell y'all he was coming.
I got to get back to the top 100 show. Sorry.
No question. I'm going to leave a note. I'm going to leave a note on the tree. I will leave that note on the tree.
Chimpanzees. I got bad. It's a note leaned up against the tree.
While everybody's sleeping.
Wait, what's this? Yeah. Deer or chimps?
Oh, no, that's Ike didn't leave us a note.
Uh-oh. Bad news. Everybody gather around. It's going to be hard for everybody to hear.
And then they're like, hey, gorilla, you can come out, silverback. He's gone. That's the one guy who's happy. He's like, thank God, Ike's left.
Nah, you know,
he's beating me up.
I'm going to get along with everybody. The jungle is just, you know, don't try me.
Yeah. Mm.
Well, you got to eat, though.
Somebody. Yeah. Somebody ain't going to live to see whatever number they want to get to. That's what I do know. You know, I'm going to feel like the hippo.
Yeah, I like those guys.
Yeah, I'm going to feel like the hippo. Or I might feel like a little horse, a little stallion.
I was thinking about that. The largest animal I could beat in a fight. Would a hippo destroy me?
Yeah.
Why?
Because they run fast. Have you seen when they open their mouth, you'd be like, they're not.
I don't know about it. Don't look at me like I'm crazy. What do I know what a hippo does?
They eat grass, but they
know what animals
like
stay away from hippos?
Yep.
Is that right?
Alligators.
Because they're unattractive.
No.
Oh.
Alligators stay away from hippos. So what chance you think you got?
Oh, I just thought of one, though, that I could beat.
Oh, which
one? The biggest animal I could defeat in a fight is a giraffe. A giraffe wouldn't beat me.
The kick the
hell would kill
would
you.
Kick you through that.
Did you ever see Mike Tyson fight a big heavyweight? The key to Tyson was he'd get in close and they couldn't do anything. What's the giraffe going to do once I get in close?
Giraffe?
That neck, he's not going to be able to bite me. Like, get further.
Bite you.
Step back 10 feet away, potbelly Jew, so I can have my way with you. No way, giraffe.
Sorry.
Shaq, first of all, you have no lateral movement. One.
You don't know what I have.
That's one.
That's true.
That's one. So about time that head get whipped around to you,
right?
It's going to go through your brain like, oh, the giraffe is whipping his head, but for what? Oh, I woke up. So, Ike.
Does a giraffe's neck bend very much, or is it
you
just,
don't see – that's how
like
they fight. That's how they fight.
They
fight like
you,
that.
They'll whip you with their neck.
Oh, I didn't know. I was surrounded by nature experts.
They have to
– two zoologists.
They have to fight off lions.
Ike and Handsome, the zoologists.
They kick lions. What are they going to do to you? Lions
they kick. They
kick lions. Put them to sleep.
All right. Yeah. My quest to find the large beast I could defeat in a fight continues.
Believe me, it doesn't live in the jungle. It might live like under a house or something like that, a spider.
Here's a football question.
Mm-hmm.
Brett Simon, 72, asks on Twitter, does any team have a better pass-rushing duo than Joey Bosa and Melvin Ingram? Of course, of the Los Angeles Chargers. They are going to be, Melvin Ingram now making some money.
He's got paid, right?
Yeah, a little delayed, Bosa, his arrival to the NFL. But once he did, and I was a cynic. When I'm wrong, I say I'm wrong, like Jerry Orbach at the end of Dirty Dancing. I was wrong about Bosa. I didn't think he was dominant, man.
I was dead wrong. I didn't think he was going to be this good this early, and he would be good for a long time.
Duo better than that, than those two?
A duo? You can't forget about Bruce and Mac. For the Raiders?
I agree with that. It's a good one.
How about Watt and Clowney? There were moments last year where Clowney looked like the guy that they thought he was.
That's your winner. That's right. If those two are both healthy and ready to go,
you don't even have to take Watt in Marcellus.
Yep, Whitney Merciless, right?
Merciless. He just as good, right? He
just as good his as business? J.J. Watt.
Coming off the edge. As a total player, no. But you got to understand, they was number one without J.J.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they start winning without J.J. So, J.J. is J.J., and it's only a few people in the world that J.J. Like, only a few people in the world who's like J.J., but J.J. just was taking up a lot of space on the line. Like, you can't Debo everybody on the line. So, now when you got J.J. sitting out, everybody's disciplined, everybody's getting in the groove. Okay, we all playing on one cylinder.
Everyone has to step up.
Not even step up. It's just like, once you get in the groove, you good, but if you got a guy who just can dominate inside and outside, it's just like Aaron Donald about to go through the same thing. Because Coach Wade Phillips like, that got me a D-tackle /DN, so I got a guy who can clog the middle up, and he can play defense end. Same thing with J.J. Watt. Like, J.J. Watt is big enough on sub packages. He can play inside.
Yep.
Also, he can rush on the outside. It's just, it's a good weapon and a good tool to have. It's just – what about the guys who can just only play that position, a D-tackle position or a D-end position? Those guys get in a groove. Like, them two outside linebackers in the 3-4 and them two D-ends in the 4-3, them guys get in the groove. Them guys have snap counts. Like, if they been playing for, like, 20 snaps, they know the cadence. Like, all right, I know in the quarterback, that's why you see them, like, pumping the gas, yep, pumping the gas, pumping the gas, because they're ready to go. When you got guys who just versatile on the defensive line, it takes snap counts out of them guys, and they can't get in the groove. So, yeah, I do like this. Now that we're talking about it, I like this Bosa Ingram. Also, I like, again, that Bruce and that Khalil Mack.
How about that whole division? That's what's crazy, yeah, is that you could go, yes, yeah, DeMarcus Ware retires, but how about the idea of Von Miller and Shane Ray, right, who might be ready to blow up? He's looked good. He's shown some size.
Think he is.
And KC as well, when Justin Houston's right and Tom Bahali, you can make a case for that group. Also, Michael Bennett and Cliff Averill, yep, in Seattle,
a
great one that deserves a mention in the Falcons building what looks like a nasty pass rush.
Right.
Vic Beasley in chunks of last year looked just about unstoppable if you watch the right game there. All right, here's a fun one from the Washington Redskins. I dare say this guy is destined to be a regular here on the DDFP, especially in the Q&A format. Here it is, Will Blackman with a question for us. Take it away, Will Blackman.
What up, Ike?
What's up?
Will Blackman here again of the Washington Redskins. If you had to pick one superhero or villain that would represent the way you played, who would it be?
Will Blackman.
The Joker.
How does that mirror? I know you like the Joker. How does that represent your style of ball?
Because the Joker don't give a what.
He said mean things to people, too. To his foes, he would say things that were inappropriate sometimes.
So the Joker doesn't have any superpowers, right? He's just a regular human.
He's just a regular,
yeah, regular human. Pain freak.
Mm-hmm.
Pain freak. Afraid of what? Nothing.
Nothing.
And no one.
And no one. Mm. So he fights all these superheroes with superpowers and capes and masks on, right?
Mm-hmm.
They can't kill him.
Yeah.
And he laughs the whole way through.
The whole way.
Wow. With a smile on his face.
Yeah, he has a weird looking face.
That's me.
That
all
is
day.
You. That is
That's
you.
Me. Yeah. You try to sneak it in, but
I thought I did sneak that one by you. Handsome, I know you didn't play pro football, but would you like to take a shot at this one?
Well, I would say Mr. Invisible because I didn't play pro football, so no one noticed me doing it.
What about –
That would be my guy.
Who's
Is there a Mr. Invisible?
No.
There should
actually
be.
No. It's a Miss Invisible. As I've said, the Fantastic Four – is a gay parable, and I mean that sincerely. I think that that it was intended to be some sort of a tale that, if you consider it this way, the Fantastic Four, who's in it? It is the Human Torch. What's his catchphrase? Flame on! There is there's Mr. Fantastic. He can reach anything. You got the Thing, and then the girl is invisible. Tell me I'm wrong about any of that. What are you doing, Ike?
Where... Miss Emma and there go Cam right there. Miss
oh,
Emma
look
and Ryan.
At that. Cam Jordan's coming in. Look, Cam Jordan's going to join the Q&A.
That's nice.
Where did y'all find Shaq?
On Smart Street. I told you. That's a
Smart Street.
How long is that street?
I don't know, but you know what? I would be like,
and who named it Smart Street?
Look who it is.
What's
everybody.
What's up, Cam?
From the New Orleans Saints.
What's up, baby? How you doing? Good.
This is Handsome Hank. This is Cam Jordan. How are you, Cam? Please join us. We're having a little Q&A session here. You're looking nice.
You know, you figure I came in, like I said, with a nice little jacket on. I was like, hey, you know, I'm here to be professional. And then they're like, yo, you got a segment outside. I was like, oh, I got a short sleeve.
Cam, how are you? How's the offseason treating you? And most importantly, Will Blackman just posed this question to us. We turn it to you. What superhero or villain best represents your style of play?
I'm going to say Green Lantern.
Because?
Oh.
Because I can almost do anything I put my mind to.
Ah.
You know what I'm saying? And he's only limited by his own mind. You
Wait a second.
Saying?
Is no one ever – has somebody asked you that question before?
No, because that was – You liked it.
That was very good off the cuff.
Don't get
was.
Mad at the answer.
I'm impressed by it. That was pretty good.
For everybody who keeps saying, you know, they want to be Superman or you want to be Batman or you want to be the main, you know, heroes, whatever, think outside the box, you know what I'm saying? And if you talk about Green Lantern, you know, after Hal Jordan, we become, you know, a black superhero. Hi.
that's another good reason. Yeah, I like all that. You know, to me, as a Superman, too, is not a good answer because he would kill people, and that wouldn't go well. You know, like if Superman tried to tackle somebody, that would, you know. How's he
like
gonna
a hole in the ground?
Had that movie Superman versus Batman. Though?
No doubt.
Yeah, so you know, it'd be too
kinda much. He kind of turned into the villain. I said the Joker.
Oh yeah.
Well, living with no laws.
No laws.
Hey, Cam no Jordan. Laws. Also, what's the best pass rushing duo in the NFL right now?
If I can't say myself and
you can if you'd like to.
Last year, you know what I'm saying. I think that was a heck of a D-tack. Right now, that duo, you can go Khalil Mack, Bruce Irvin. Mm-hmm. You can also go Cliff Averill and Mike Bennett when he's healthy. You know, because, you know, Mike is a force. You know, unfortunately, he just only saw like half the season last year. But when they were together, they were out there destroying.
As I've said, Super Bowl 49 would have turned out differently had Michael Bennett not gotten – had Cliff Averill not gotten hurt in the second half because Michael Bennett and Averill were dominating that game. And then Averill goes out, and all of a sudden they double up on Bennett, and Tom Brady has enough time to play hero in that one. What did you make of Drew Brees' placement on the top 100 list? 16, two spots behind rookie Dak Prescott.
Honestly, I thought that was just going to be me. And then, you know, I figured Drew would be a top five, you know, situation. But apparently I'm not on the list, so we'll just throw that out the window.
Wait a second. That's right. Is this? I was
on the list last year, right?
Yeah.
Not in the top 100.
Yeah,
shameful.
Let's not talk about it. That's all jokes. You know, again, for Drew to be 16, you know, we're going to put that on the defense. I understand it's from our peers, but at the same time, we've got to do better and go farther into the playoffs to get the recognition that he should deservedly have. Again, my only stat that really comes to mind is when you have, you know, let's call it 8 seasons where a quarterback's thrown for 5,000 yards or more, he has 5 of them. So when you talk about king of the air, we'll call him Drew Orleans. You know, you come on down and you're going to see a passing show.
I don't want you to get upset with me. And Ike, I think you know probably where I'm going to go now. And this is a delightful time, and I don't want to ruin it. And yet, I'm going to ask this.
I'm a defensive end. That's all.
You hear a lot of bad stuff about the Saints' defense, and we always hear, "Oh, the Saints. When's that going to turn around?" Drew Brees sometimes doesn't play well on the road. True or false? I mean, what do you think about that statistically? Is that a bad question, Ike?
Statistically,
are you upset with me for asking that question?
Okay. Statistically, he doesn't play well on the road. I look at Drew Brees like high risk, high reward. So if Drew is having a heck of a game, yeah, you're gonna get it. But then the risk is the 15 turnovers. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm asking him to do a lot. I know he can do a lot, but really, I'm not getting the reward I'm looking for. That we talked about in training camp. Mm-hmm. That's how I look at it. So when you have a Dak Prescott, it's like we always put quarterbacks when they manage the game, like that's a bad thing. Oh, no, that's not a bad thing. If you got a quarterback that can manage the game, that's a good thing. One, your defense is sitting.
Well, as I've always said, Brady and Peyton were high-end game managers.
Your defense is sitting. So the strength to the Dallas Cowboys was their offense. Defense didn't have to play too much because we got a run game. They're controlling the clock. So now I'm fresh. And he know now when you got a run game and you control the clock, man, we talk about, man, what we doing tonight? Wait. Oh, time for us to get on the field. Bam.
Cam, your thoughts?
Again, I go with the high risk, high reward. I'm also just going to bring to mind, you know, what the first – when you said he doesn't play well on the road. For some reason, I think we came back and smacked the Chargers. You know, and that might have been a road game.
It counted.
Okay. Cool.
All right.
That's the first game that came to mind. You know, when you talk about playing on the road game, I'm going to put that on the team. When you have a guy who's throwing, you know, for averaging, you know, 300-400 yards a game, it's got to be on the defense. And again, to fill that question, I think we've bolstered our defense unlike we have any other year. Mm-hmm. You know, we've added Manti Te'o. We've added A.J. Klein. Craig Robinson, he's coming into his second year. You know, we got a D coordinator coming into his second year, so guys should be more comfortable. And that's just at the linebacker. We drafted the kid, Anzalone.
Right.
And so that's four linebackers that are coming in strong. When you talk about our DB core, last year, Delvin Bro, went down. P.J. Williams down. Damian Swan down. Three guys you were looking to really change, help change the
three starters
identity.
With two starters.
Right, two starters and, possible nickel starter.
Right.
Guy who you helped to change the identity of our defense. Then you got to pick up guys. We did find Sterling Moore, who, again, turned it on in the second half of the season because he got comfortable. It's not like, he saw any OTAs. It's not like he saw minicamp. It's not like he saw training camp.
Come during the season.
He came in week two.
Right.
So he defined his stride until that second half. And so we're now looking, if everybody stays healthy, we have potential four guys who can start on any team. And that's something that's going to not only help. If you have lockdown corners, we all know, if you buy me 3 seconds, I can get there.
The Adrian Peterson addition is getting most of the headlines, but I'm with you. I think the defense quietly there in the Superdome is going to be much better than it was.
How's that locker room feeling about AP?
Oh, come on. We're all excited about it. Hell, 70% of the locker room probably grew up watching him run over guys in Oklahoma and then the Vikings. He came into training camp looking, fresh and fast. You talk about the great running backs of our leagues. You talk about Le'Veon Bell, who's shifty and fast. You talk about Shady, shifty and fast. You talk about Marshawn, shifty, strong, fast. I don't know. That's a different level.
Yeah, a little different.
Yeah, he's a little different. But then you talk about Adrian Peterson. He's fast as hell, but at the same time, he gets vertical, angry. Angry.
He got lateral movement like David Johnson. We was watching David Johnson highlights on that top 100 reaction show, and he had a jump cut. That's all he did was jump cut. I'm talking about David Johnson.
Right.
But then if you go back and just look at AP and his style of running, he jump cuts too, and he'll make a jump cut and just shoot straight through the hole. That's them ladder drills we talk about all the time.
Well, and then you consider, so the Saints kind of had a vibe over the last decade or so as probably being the most consistently strong team in the division. Then now you got the Buccaneers with Jameis and company on the rise, Mike Evans and the rest of that. And then the last two teams are the last two NFC Super Bowl representatives. As far as that goes, did you find yourself rooting for the Panthers and the Falcons to win for divisional pride? Because, and I asked this to Ike too, you come from the Pac-10 / Pac-12. Mm. Cal, did you ever sit at home and say, I hope USC wins it all. It's good for the conference. To me, when you're a pro, you don't root for guys in the other division foes.
I never did it in college. I never did it in high school.
I love it. I'm with you 100%. I don't understand when people even talk college football and they say, well, but it's good for the conference. Well, that's embarrassing. They beat you up. Don't you want to see somebody beat them up now?
Exactly. At Cal, when Oregon went to the national championship, you'd never be like, oh, but we beat them, so heck, we could have been there. No, not at all. I can't root for either team.
Right.
I mean, it doesn't affect me one way or another since we're not in it. The moment that New Orleans, whether we make it to the playoffs, a couple years back, and we went deep and we stopped, and see if we lost to Seattle, Seattle won the Super Bowl, that's not a consolation prize.
Right.
I only want to beat them the next year, That's more motivation to become better as a team, better as a unit for the next year.
Right.
When you're talking about Carolina 2 years ago, when they won all those close games, it wasn't like they were blowing cats out. They were a team unified, and they were winning those close games. That defined a Super Bowl team. That's something that, again, you aspire to be. That's something you get hungry for. You talk about Atlanta. Atlanta was blowing some teams out, and again, Atlanta was also making some close two-minute drills that they came out winning. That defines a Super Bowl winning team. That has nothing to do with, hey, I want Atlanta to do well because, they beat us twice, and they're going to the Super Bowl. I want to destroy them every year. When I see them this upcoming year, I'm looking forward to destroying them.
Ike, any difference? Did you ever watch the Ravens when they were playing down in NOLA, 5 years ago? Were you thinking like, hey?
I hope all of them get hurt. Nope. Don't want to see them. Don't want to look at them. Oh, the lights went out. I hope they never come back.
Ever. No winner this year.
Ever.
Real quick, fellas, before we wrap it up here, it's time
Real
for
quick.
It's time for Over Undies, presented by Me Undies. The perfect wardrobe. You already got it. Now finish it off 20% off your first pair. Just use the URL meundies.com/DDFP. And like I say, 20% off your first pair. The question is, this is for Ike. Ike, you thoughtfully explained what swag in you meant mm-hmm. when you used to say that on Monday night and mm-hmm. Sunday night football. Swag, Ike Taylor, swag in you.
Right.
Which was part of your broadcast there. In addition to attending Swag and U, you matriculated at the University of Louisiana Lafayette. Over Undy 3, how many players currently in the NFL went to school at Louisiana Lafayette? I'm going to let you guess first on this one there, Cam. Over Undies 3.
I got a question for you. First of all, for the undies plug, am I getting a pair of these soon? Or
no? You know what? Okay. It's outrageous that he doesn't.
Yeah.
I would like mine, too. Wants some, too.
Over Undies. You know, these Me Undies.
They're very soft.
Are they elite? Unless I'm saying, like.
I would say so.
Okay. And then, I guess, to answer
your bum
that,
will love them. I'm telling you.
I'm just going to put it. I'm going to have to check that out myself. I might have to add them later. But that being said, over, under three, ULL? No doubt. Over.
Over. Over. Really? Over. Who could it be? Wait, now that Peanut Tillman and Ike Taylor.
Are we talking about like,
over.
Yeah, are we talking about like just this year, or are we talking about like as a collective?
Let's go behind the glass to the judge.
Over.
MVP, are we talking all time? Because
no,
Peanut Knight.
Who's currently in the league.
Oh, currently in the league? Yeah, so we're talking
over.
About span. Yeah, definitely over.
Over.
Really?
Who over.
Watch. Do we have – Hands y'all have the,
I'll go under
the answer.
Is that including mascots?
No, don't disrespect. You can't disrespect the Raging.
What is it? The Raging Cajun, right?
Raging yeah, Cajun. Oh, that's,
you can't disrespect that.
They're strong. They're strong with it. Yeah. Definitely over.
Over.
MVP. The correct answer is
zero.
Zero.
Trick question.
You
There's
wait.
No one. There's no
mascot?
One.
Not even the mascot.
Nope. Not, sorry about that.
Not a mascot.
Sorry to trick
you. You can get good Cajun food in New Orleans.
You must have one of them.
We just had two running backs get drafted this year.
Oh. That's two.
Yeah.
But that's still under.
I'll have to check my research then.
Yes.
Right.
It's not zero.
We
just had the tight end from – he just got drafted to San Diego Chargers 2 years ago.
Well, I don't know if he's in the league anymore, but I'll check it out.
Wait, so the practice squad count?
No, practice squad doesn't count.
She's going to treat me softly.
We're not.
She's going to let me down easy.
How about that, though? Isn't that amazing? You come from a Power 5 conference, Cam Jordan. Imagine 15 years or so ago, the two cornerbacks at Louisiana Lafayette are Peanut Tillman and Ike Taylor. That's
great.
Crazy, isn't
great.
It?
Great.
We had top 5 secondary in the NCAA.
It really is quite a
we
thing.
We had me, Nutt, Brian Deamer, who was like 6'4", whatever, and Kyrese Hebert. Mm. So I was the smallest corner.
I love all this, and I want to keep going now. We're just getting into the good times. But before we wrap it up, Cam Jordan, let's finish where we started. This has gone on for a couple of shows now. What's the biggest animal you could beat in a fight?
In a wild.
In the wild.
Mentally? We talking about like
not mentally,
physical.
No.
We talking about like mentally, I like, you know, I'm coming in like I'm not losing anything. So that being said, you gotta give me the situation.
Oh, I thought you meant like mentally, like is this some sort of like, spelling bee?
For some reason,
like,
I do like to go hunting. You know, we out in Louisiana, you know what I'm saying?
Is you or him?
I like
somebody
I like
gotta
to hunt,
go.
So I don't, you saying I don't have a rifle on me?
No.
So
I've
shot a deer. Bam. I've only got 3 in the chamber. I missed the first, bam, I missed the second, third. Shot.
What about a deer, bear hand?
Exactly. I'm coming up on a deer, and a bear comes out, right? Yeah. I mean, we might have to knock this out. there's a saying, you know, if you ever see me in a fight with the bear, help the bear, you know? And that's what I'm going into mentality with. Now, realistically speaking, it'd have to be a baby bear.
But right.
I don't know. Right. It could be a raging mom. You know what I'm saying? I don't even deal with my mom, you know. My mother.
Yeah, it's I'm the mama bear mother. Protecting right. her youngins. Yeah, yeah. It's the dangerous one.
But if little homie is all of, you know, 6 months and he's all, you know, 100 pounds.
You like your chances.
I'm definitely, yeah, I like my chances.
A bear. He said Ike Taylor said a silverback. I think that's asking a little bit too much.
You know, I read that story where, like, the little monkey, you know, reached through the cage and, like, ripped off the lady's face. Yeah. And I was like, oh. Mm-hmm. And that was like a little chimp, you know. So you feel silverback.
I like my chance.
You couldn't even beat up silverback James Harrison.
Oh,
Is that fair? He does. He lifts bench press bar.
You're being messy.
But I'm also being true, aren't I?
You're being messy.
I could take a penguin. That's another one.
One you could.
I bet I could beat that. They're pretty probably.
That beak would cut you in half.
All right, but we're asking if I'm living at the end.
No, you won't. All your insides will be hanging
go.
Out.
Go.
We can't find one beast that I can defeat in a fight, Cam Jordan. All right, listen, great times with you. Great to see you. Stay healthy, Cam. Best wishes in the NFC South. Handsome Hank, great stuff. Great insights from you. Thanks
for putting that out there. Soups in, like, the next Super Bowl, except the only difference is in our conference, we're not going to lose the Super Bowl. We're just going to win.
Oh, there you go. Look at that bold prediction. And then he literally dropped the mic there. Ike Taylor, you have stuff to do on Fancy TV. You go do that. What a pleasure to see you once again. We'll see you next week. We have one more with Ike in town for the summertime. Then Handsome and I will pick things up from there and run all the way till training camp kicks off. Much to discuss between now and then. In the meantime, thanks so much, football fans. It's been a thin slice of heaven.